Yeah, there we go. I'm here with Henry Herbert, the Bitcoin baker, Bitcoin chef,
Big, yeah,
self-proclaimed.
could
Yeah.
be.
How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm
Or for
good.
you
I'm really
later.
good. It's nice and sunny in the UK, and so I'll take that.
Nice
Bitcoin's
rare
still in the
occasion.
cold wallet, so I'll take that.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, so you're relatively new to the more public Bitcoin space. You've been on Jordan's podcast as well. So just for everyone that hasn't listened to that, do you want to give an intro to yourself in general and then a bit on the Orange Pill story as well, obviously?
So I'm Henry. I'm a dad of two kids. Live in the Southwest. So I'm from a family of bakers. So we have a family bakery that's been going over 100 years. So kind of like a generational business, and I help run it with my dad and my brother and my sister-in-law and uncle. So it's like a real family affair. And I also had a TV show with one of my brothers about 12 years ago, so you probably didn't remember it, but I had a it was basically it was a cooking show on Channel 4, and then it also went on Discovery. So we did a lot of travel, was quite well paid, basically had quite a lot of fun, and it was one of those things where it kind of happened, and I always describe it as being a bit like a dog in the car with my head out the window. He's having a great time, the tongue's going, your tail's waggling, but I'm not driving, and I've got no control over whether the car stops or if things hit you in the face. It was just like you're on the roller coaster, enjoy it, and at some point you'll get kicked off. And for us, that kind of abruptly happened, that it was all going well, and then suddenly the phone stops ringing, and you just go back to your day job, so to speak. And I don't resent that. Like, I had a great time and did a lot of fun things. But I kind of I earned fairly good money for someone quite young at the time, and I just spanked it on stuff. Like, I literally got nothing to show for it. I think we bought a car that I couldn't really afford, got rid of that. Probably went on a few nice holidays. Got some nice photos on the iPhone. I don't regret them. Probably
Nice.
bought quite a lot of expensive flannel shirts, but none of them fit anymore.
Classic.
And I literally nothing to show for it other than some great memories, which is fine. That's
Which
just
is good,
life.
I mean,
And
yeah.
then I guess I kind of when you have kids and suddenly you've got people dependent on you, and you're kind of thinking about life going forward. And I don't know, I just felt like I could see that I was just on this like that hamster wheel, and no matter how hard I
Yeah.
was working, I was just constantly playing catch up. This was now, back having like a regular job, and I'm really privileged. I've got so much to be thankful for, and I'm not resentful at all. But it's just that thing of like, I just used to tell people, yeah, I'm never going to retire because, well, I've got a massive mortgage, and my wage doesn't keep up with the cost of things going up, and kids are expensive, everything's costing more. And so I just kind of had accepted that, and then it was probably after COVID. I wasn't on social media, so I kind of missed out on all of the kind of the kind of crypto Bitcoin euphoria. That totally passed me by. I only ever really saw what was in the newspaper, and then I don't know, I just yeah I think when there was a lot in the news about inflation and like cash was going to be debased and stuff, and I'd never heard of any of these concepts, but I it kind of it resonated that like something wasn't quite right. I was kind of could see that my life was going in this trajectory, which was just working harder for less, and I could see
Yeah.
that in real time. And so I just started like doing a bit of learning, and then I think a dad at school was like, oh, you should get some crypto, and so I bought some
Nice.
Dogecoin, and I bought a bit of Bitcoin because I heard of that, and then
Yeah.
I just yeah I kind of orange pilled myself. And I think I listened to a podcast with Pete on what Bitcoin did, and he just like explained it. I was like, wow, there's something to this. And within probably 3 weeks I was like, oh, this is it, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah,
I
it's
think I was
crazy how
just
fast
like,
it is now.
yeah, I was
You
I
get
think
the
I was
resources now.
I was ready and primed. I was like that kind of perfect customer that like I was just ready for it,
Yeah.
and then it's kind of and then it was just like stacking hard, which is all good, all the way down into the bear market, and
Yeah,
a lot of
classic.
people saying like, oh, how's your Bitcoin doing? Yeah, it's fine, and then yeah, last year it was at Cheat Code. I went along because I hadn't ever met any other Bitcoiners. I kind of
Same,
orange peeled a
yeah.
few people, but they would kind of come to me as like the expert kind of thing. I hadn't ever met any other ones apart from one-way conversations in my head, which it's kind of a bit of a funny place to spend your life, just listening to people but never actually interacting back. Cheat Code, they just the Bridge to Bitcoin guys were like, you should get out there and do stuff. And I was like, well, actually, I've got a little side hustle. I could accept Bitcoin. So I was like, well, why don't I? So that's when I kind of rebranded slightly as the Bitcoin Chef. It's in the kind of like the Nosta X world rather than kind of Instagram and my website, mm-hmm. you know. So it's kind of like, but yeah. And then customers started coming, people start paying in Bitcoin, and yeah, just like, I don't know, it was right. kind of quite. It's like, oh, actually, it's quite nice putting your head above the parapet and chatting to people, and And then a few months ago, my wife was like, you're listening to too many podcasts. I think you should go on some podcasts. I was like, what am I going to talk about? And she was like, I don't know, just send out some emails. So I sent a few emails out, and Jordan responded and did one. And I was like, well, it's quite fun. And then now I'm doing one with you. So, hey, here we are.
Yeah, I'm excited. You touched on something at the beginning of what you just said that I find really interesting. It's that balance between being obviously incredibly grateful just for life in the Western world, being born in the UK, but also acknowledgement of the downward slope that we're on and the inability to see where that slope stops going down without Bitcoin. And I think that's a really tough line to walk, especially with like my parents that I talk to. The response I get a lot is, you know, be grateful almost. And for me, that sounds like be complacent. Obviously, it's not honestly wanting me to be grateful, which I am. But it's then incredibly hard to balance those two between gratefulness and acknowledgement. And do you think about that much? Do you have any thoughts on?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Yeah. I think it's life's pretty good. Like, you know, I can't complain. Like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of news around, like, you know, the UK has fallen, and it's like, yeah, it's definitely getting probably a bit worse than it was, but like, but actually day to day it's fine. Like, you know, you can cope. Like, the sun's still shining, you know, the you know, people I hang out with are still nice, the beer still tastes good in the pub, you know, like, there's a lot of good things. But I think the thing with Bitcoin is that once you start kind of once you understand what the problem is, and you start to see it, it's then really hard to like unsee it. And so you can start to see all of the kind of decline, or like you can kind of map out how the next kind of 10, 15, 20 years could be. And that can be quite a scary place if there's no fix. Like, if there's no alternative, then you're like, well, why would you go there? It's just depressing. And like, but obviously, and I guess that's maybe a challenge that I find, is that as a kind of enthusiastic Bitcoiner, I feel really optimistic about the future. Yeah. Like, I'm really excited. I'm like, it's going to be great. Like, I don't want to get there straight away. I want to live my life, and, you know, like, I don't want to wish that time away. But I'm also really excited because I feel optimistic, and like, you know, it's going to be okay. But to get there, you have to kind of understand that everything's kind of decaying and breaking, and that we need to have this like, move over to this new system, and that, you know, will take time, and, you know, like, it's just going to happen organically, I guess. And there'll be stumbling blocks along the way, but it's really hard when you're like talking to people about the future, because most of my mates, they don't even want to talk about how things are getting a bit worse, because it's just depressing. They're like, I'd rather just live in the moment and talk about the football, or talk about, you know, what's happening right now that's kind of you know, and all I want to talk about is like, you know, how crap things are, but also that they could get better. And but then that's when you kind of end up sounding a little bit nuts, because if you don't understand Bitcoin, they're like what, you're just like, all you're talking about is how awful things are and how they're going to get worse, but then there's just like magic solution that just sounds like a scam, and so then you just sound a bit nuts, so you end up just not really talking about it, or you know, you have to pick your battles, you know. And
you do, and that's an important bit.
So then you just listen to more podcasts and retreat into yourself, which then is probably not a good idea either long term, you know. It's good to get out there and speak to people.
I mean, you definitely come up, not you as in Bitcoiners, definitely come across as insane when you're talking about how bad things could be, but with a smile on your face and enthusiastically. It's crazy. It is like an exercise in doublethink that you were like,
you
can simultaneously hold two potential futures in your mind. They're literally opposites.
And I think it's also, you've got to be careful not to, like, you know, get ahead of your skis, because like, it's you know, none of us know the future. Like, we can't, you know, it's a fool's errand to try and predict the future. And I guess you kind of like see how Bitcoin's working. You're like, yeah, but you can see how it can kind of influence these things. But who knows the timeline or like how it will happen or the stumbling blocks or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I think it's I've definitely found it that like it's really easy to get whipped up into like this is a certainty. Like there's no other alternative. This is the only way. And I kind of feel like I kind of think it will happen. Like, you know, we like it will, you know, continue to do what it's doing and more people will join because it's just a better technology. It's a better money. Mm-hmm. And, but also I don't know, like I kind of have to, it's good to get a little dose of reality occasionally because you can get too like forward, you know, the kind of, and I, so I sometimes like I've taken myself off X, like I've deleted all the social apps off my phone because there's only, you know, if you just keep seeing God candles every day, like it's, I don't think it's healthy. You're like, you end up living in this like fancy land that actually like it might exist one day, but it's not here and now. And actually you've got to live your life. You've got to go traveling. You've got to, you know, take your kids to school. You've got to like enjoy the moment. And so I think it's trying to like, you know, and I think that's, that is also part of that. It's like the humbler of Bitcoin is that you, you know, it's very easy to say that kind of like low time preference, you know, kind of, oh, I'm saving for the future. And but maybe in your mind, you're like, oh, that future's like 6 months away. I can like, you know, afford to go on a better holiday. But actually, it might be like, well, it might drop quite a lot in 6 months. You might have to wait 5 years. And you're like, oh, that is quite a long time. So it's it'll make us patient. Well,
it will.
So I guess if you kind of like, if you promise too much to yourself or to your friends or in your mind, and then it doesn't happen, then you could be disappointed. And actually that is part of it. It's like, you just, you know, it's just saving for a better future. And, you know, it's, you know, that, you've got to play that long game. And I think in my mind, I'm like, I think it started off probably as like 2 years and now it's more like 10 years. I'm like, I've got to hang in there 10 years until you can kind of really enjoy the fruits of the labor, because by that point you've done two cycles, and I don't know, that history would show that that's probably, you know, then you can start enjoying.
And there's a lot of truth when people say that it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think that really long time horizon view is most likely correct, that it's going to get a lot better, but before that you're going to have a very hostile, resistant government, obviously, who wants to keep their power, and that is probably going to spur a really big downturn for most people before we get to that utopia.
Yeah, and that's quite a challenge as well, because like, you know, I've got lots of friends and family. I've got a big family. I'm one of six, so I've got, I think I've got 17 nephews and nieces. You know, so I'm from a big family, and most of them don't really get Bitcoin. Like some of them own a bit of it, but they don't really. You know, they don't. They kind of. It's more because I've just like browbeating them, and they're like, fine, just like I'll buy a little bit, so you shut up, you know. Make me shut up. And and so you're kind of like, I don't know, but it's sometimes I'm like, you know, there's that kind of like hero mentality, be like, oh, maybe I'll be like the savior. I'm the one who's gonna save the family. And then you're like, you're having these thoughts while you're, I don't know, going for a walk or out for a run or whatever, and you're like, stop being a dickhead. Like, you know, like it's, you know, like it's easy, you know, like when you only consume Bitcoin content in the Bitcoin community, it's very easy to like be like, oh, this is a dead cert, and I will be the savior of the family. It's like, actually life's more complicated than that. And and maybe, you know, if that, you know, if a time comes that whole society is decayed and the only way out is through Bitcoin, well, hey, look, I love my family and I'll help them out, but I also kind of think that, you know, maybe it won't get to that point. I don't know. Who knows? We can't see it in the future, can we? Exactly. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point.
And it's also an interesting time in a, I guess I don't like saying this, but in a Bitcoiner's journey, when they really grok it and they really start to get it, and then you realize that you do start sounding like a Looney Tune to anyone in your family, anyone like your wife in your case, I imagine. How did that reaction come when you tried to speak to her about family and friends?
I think I was probably like, as soon as I got into it, within, I don't know, a month of like, you know, I'd kind of like, I'd heard enough to be like, this is it. I stopped. I didn't buy any more Doge. I was like, that's a scam. Sell that. I diverted my pension into, you know, out of government bonds. I was starting to kind of like understand that, you know, there were certain things not to do. And then I was just, you know, DCAing into Bitcoin as much as I could, and just learning. And probably at that point, yeah, I'd been into it maybe a couple of months. I then started like sharing content with, you know, family and stuff on WhatsApp, and like, you know, hey, listen to this. And it was, you know, it was probably after like a year when my wife was like, every time you put something about Bitcoin, no one responds. Like, just stop it. Like, they don't, like, no one else is like giving out financial advice. It's like a family chat. Like, just stop it. And but it's like, it's kind of, you know, for me, it's like this kind of pressure's like building in, and I'm like, they need to know. So then it's like,
yeah,
out it comes. And then you just, you know, you look a bit nuts. And I kind of, yeah, if I like went back and did it again, I would have been much more kind of like, well, where was I in that journey to like getting to the point where once Bitcoin then made sense? Because actually, I'd read about Bitcoin loads of times. I met someone, I think in 2011, who was mining in their bedroom, one of my wife's friends' flat share, and I like had a 2-hour chat with him, and you know, and I was like, well, what are you doing? He was like, oh, I'm like, you know, magic internet money, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting, but at no point did I think I want to buy some. So I'd kind of like, you know, there was, you get all these little touch points, and you just ignore them, and but I think you have to be like ready in your life to be like, now I'm ready to take that journey. And
it always maybe has to be a choice in the end.
Yeah.
Basically,
you can't force it on people. And if you force it on them, they'll buy it, but they'll understand it, and then they'll sell it, or they'll move on to something else. You know, it's like, you're not really giving it justice. And so I think if I went back now, I would be much more gentle. I'd probably be more like, I definitely probably sent some probably slightly not extreme stuff, but like, you know, there's when you kind of understand that the whole monetary system's kind of a bit of a fraud, and that it touches everything, suddenly you're like, oh shit, everything is a fraud.
Yeah, it's a big leap.
And there's obviously a lot of content out there that, you know, they're you know, conspiracies everywhere. And I definitely was like sucked into all of that, just like, oh my god, like the whole, you know, everything's a lie. And the problem with that is that, like, I didn't get into Bitcoin because I, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Like, I'm not. Like, I think there's certain things in life that you just, they're just out of your control. And so you can just choose to be like, if, like, I'm not going to be able to stop it, so I can just ignore it. But, like, spending hours, like, trying to convince people that this is a thing and that they should, you know, care about it, I think it can do damage. And so what I was doing was, they weren't responding to the Bitcoin stuff, so I was then sharing like other stuff that was like fringe, like whether it was like, you know, the carnivore diet, or, you know, like cloud seeding. Like, I don't know any of this stuff is true, like, but it's like you're like consuming it because it's like in that kind of Bitcoin ecosphere. And then when you start showing that stuff, people then like, oh, you are actually just a nut. You've gone completely nuts. And so I definitely wouldn't have shared any of that stuff, because, you know,
I
mean, there's planes flying past now and there's no flumes coming out the back of it. Sometimes there is. I don't know. I'm not, I don't know much about the sky. I didn't do very well at physics at school. And actually, I don't really care. Like, it's not, I can't influence that kind of stuff. So I kind of think like it's about picking your battles, and
100%.
And I think I went too hard too soon, and maybe lost credibility. I don't know. But then I think.
Sorry, you carry on. I won't talk.
But I think like when I speak to people who have since met Bitcoin, that seems to happen. That seems to be like, you know, you get it and you're like, oh my god, and then you just want to share because you want to save everyone, because you're like, I'm being saved, you need to get saved, and now this is going to be great for everyone. But of course, you know, people aren't ready for that, and then you just put them off, and maybe actually, you know, you might actually cause more damage because you've like, you've gone back. I don't know.
Probably more, but act as an example and a touch point, I guess, just add to that. As many touch points as possible.
But then if you're leading by example, which I'm a big believer in, you know, I've in kind of work and life, I think, you know, practicing what you preach is super important, like, you know, just like talking about stuff but not actually acting on it, like, so actually leading by example. But then but with Bitcoin, because it does take time, like, it, you know, it's not like a quick fix. I think I read somewhere that it's a bit like winning the lottery in slow motion, and I quite like that, because you're like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you kind of got the winning ticket, but it's just, it might take 20 years until you've got to like the prize money, but you kind of know it's coming. If you lead by example, well, 20 years is quite a long time. So then you have that kind of like that sense of like urgency that you want to be a bit more proactive. And so I guess for me, kind of going full circle, it's like, by being proactive, I'm trying to be proactive in a kind of like living my life in a more, you know, so actually using Bitcoin. So whether that's accepting it as payments in my supper clubs, if it's you know, engaging with the community more rather than just consuming. So it's kind of like putting yourself out there a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really interesting, and that's a big that is part of a bigger, I think, challenge for Bitcoin, for newer Bitcoiners as well, that your first instinct for your like outlet of all this newfound knowledge and this excitement about the world tends to be those closest to you, but as we've just discussed, it's probably not the best. Have you found other ways, better outlets, you know, than talking to people that are just in one area or the other?
Like, say you're at a dinner party, or you're like, you know, you're at the pub or something, and someone mentions something about something that they're just a bit dissatisfied about, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Straight away, your Bitcoiner goes like, "Ting!" Oh, you're like, you know, it's the money printer, you know, like, you know, it's this. Yeah. So I guess for me, it's what I try and do now is, rather than like going in and being like a kind of missionary trying to like convert as many people as possible, which I don't think is a good idea. I think that doesn't really work. You might get a few, but you're gonna isolate a lot of people, and I do like to get invited to the pub and not, you know, just wind people up. But when people are kind of receptive and they kind of ask a question, it's like I used to get super excited. I then just like verbal diarrhea on them everything. Mm-hmm. And actually, what I try and do now is like ask them a question, like, "Oh, well, what do you understand about it?" And let them talk, and then you start to feel like you get to gauge where they're at, and like, you know, is it like are they dissatisfied about, you know, their kind of future prospects and their retirement? Are they dissatisfied about not being able to buy a house? Are they dissatisfied about like the environment? Like, it's like there's all these different like touch points, and then you can kind of like, you can then slowly kind of weave into it like how Bitcoin might help. And but you kind of have to just like announce it and then like leave it and allow them to like digest it and then let them come back. And most of the time people then don't come back, but then occasionally they will, you know. And then you're like, "Oh, okay, like they've come back now." And now, you know, so I've probably in the last like 6 months, and actually since doing Jordan's interview, I like shared it. I said, "Hey, look, you know, I've done this interview, you don't have to listen to it, but like I've had a few people come up and be like, you know, "Oh, I didn't like, I didn't know about that," or that was kind of like, it was a, you know, they could kind of consume it on their own time. It wasn't like I'd like pincered them and they were like felt trapped. It was like actually they could just consume it as and when they want. And then, you know, a few people have come slightly out of the blue with questions and actually like, "Oh, okay, like, you're like, I'm actually a little bit interested in this. Like, could you send me, you know, something that I could read to like learn a bit more?" So like they're kind of, you know, and so for me, I think that's a much better approach, because you're like, it's not being force fed to them. It's kind of like they're coming to it in their own time. And I think that, so I think, you know, that's why it's so important to like create content and, you know, but in that way that it allows people to like go on their own journey rather than, you know, you know, getting them stuck in the corner and then just waffling at them for like an hour and ruining their night out, you know. Like, I kind of I've done that and I don't want to do that anymore. I think that's a bad approach. And
that's why I think Joe's video was so good, because I tried to talk to my friends about it and they were like, "Mate, not a chance," especially because a lot of my friends I did economics A levels with, and that is 2 years of Keynesian economics finest. So I just sent them Joe's video, doesn't mention Bitcoin, doesn't even mention fiat really, unless you can crop the fiatello, but
I think most of them did.
And they get back to me like, "That's really interesting."
Most people don't know what fiat is. They're like, "What is it, a car?" Like, whatever I said to them, they're like, "You keep mentioning fiat, like, what is it?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's just money. It's just like modern money." Like, "Oh, right, money, okay." So like, it's like and it's things like, you know, I guess that's like jargon, isn't it? It's like you get so used to like little phrases, you're like, "Oh, I know what you're talking about," but actually most people don't even know what it is. Like, I didn't know what fiat was until I learned what Bitcoin was. So like, you know, it's Joe's video is a bit of a game changer. I actually saw it the first time he presented it, maybe not the first time, but it was one of the first times at a Bristol Bitcoin meetup. And you know, he's just like this very normal looking chap, you know, and It's very polite, you know, very nice. And then
So relaxed.
Yeah, and, yeah. It's like, it's nice. Yeah, like nice little spa music in the background. And you're watching it, and then it's just this, like, doom of, like, all this stuff. And you're like,
as it explains all the parts of society.
Yeah, 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 like, totally.
Doomed
totally.
Future, but it's really relaxed and really nice and calm.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, and I shared it with a few people, and I, like, I shared it with my family, and I think some of them watched it. I don't know if they all did, but again, it's that thing of you just got to let them watch it. You know, it might not mean anything now, but then, like, you know, they'll hear something or something will happen, and they'll be like, oh yeah, that's kind of, oh maybe that's, you know, they'll kind of link it back. It's like a reference point, and but yeah, no, I think it's a really good touch point. Totally,
it is. I mean, also, how have you found it integrating payments, as you say, for your small business? Is that hard? I think a lot of people consider it
so easy. It's literally literally the easiest thing, and I think maybe that's the advantage of being a little bit late to Bitcoin, is that a lot of the ecosystem exists now. It's like, so the I don't know if you know the Bridge to Bitcoin guys, but I listened, was that your first one?
Yeah, my second
one. Yeah, yeah, it was your first. Yeah.
First
one you published. Yeah. I listened to that whilst mowing the lawn on Sunday.
Nice.
The dulcet tones of Bitcoin and a lawnmower. They were just like, it's really easy to set up. So I just emailed them. I was like, hey, Christopher and James, saw you talk at Cheat Code. I've got this. I've been trying to, like, get my family business to embrace Bitcoin, but there's a lot of people, and it's, you know, they mostly think I'm mental, but now I've got this, I do this side hustle, which I run with my wife. I can make all the decisions. I don't have to answer to anyone. I was like, I haven't been accepting Bitcoin. Maybe I should, like, and actually I can, and that kind of, like, leading from the front of, like, well, actually, rather than telling people to do it yourself, you know? And, you know, for me, that was that kind of, like, slap on the head at Cheat Code. Like, what am I playing at? Like, I should definitely accept payments and just see what happens. And so they just set me up. I mean, I had a wallet of Satoshi. It was like 5 minutes. It was like super easy. They then published it on X, and I think without really any marketing, I've probably had 12 people kind of within a couple of months come and pay with Bitcoin. And my wife was a bit like, who are these people? They're like coming from all over the place. Like, and they're like coming out the woodwork. So for her, she was a bit like, oh, it's great. You know, it's just like, it's a new audience of people coming to. So just reference. So I used to be a chef, and now I run a bakery, but I'm mostly office based, and my mortgage went up, and I needed a bit more money, and I wanted to buy more Bitcoin. So I started monthly supper clubs in one of our cafes. So I run it with my wife. It's a Friday, Saturday, in Nailsworth. It's like a 6-course tasting menu kind of thing. Everyone eats together. It's really good. We get really good wine. Wife makes nice flowers and stuff. So it's like a dining experience, and it's a good bit of fun. We now accept Bitcoin payments, and so people can come and pay with fiat, you know, or pounds, but they can also pay with Bitcoin. So for the first kind of like 6 months, it was just, I had it on my wallet. So when a Bitcoiner was there, I'd go up and have a chat with them, and then we would just, you know, do a lightning transaction, and, you know, jobs are good. But now I reached out to the guys from Musket. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're really cool. And so they've got like a card point of sale, and it's got fiat on one side and then Bitcoin. And then, so if you click fiat, you can just pay with pounds and, you know, like a tap and go kind of thing. And then with Bitcoin, it's linked to a self-custodial lightning node that they kind of manage, but you have the private keys for, and then it just generates a lightning wallet. So it's at point of sale. The thing that's really exciting about it is that because it's so seamless and works so well, and actually the fees that they are charging are less than what I was being charged by Zettle. So like, actually, I'm getting charged less by the bank. So it's like, well, that's a winner. And also I can accept Bitcoin, and it's all really seamless. And like, you know, my missus or, you know, the waitress, you know, like, it's no problem. They're like, yeah, it just works. It's really easy. So that's great. But also because I'm using it and it's like a credible solution rather than like getting a wallet out and it looks like a bit of a dodgy deal. There's a sense of like normalization about it that we're now having conversations with my bakery. We've got 4 shops and markets, so we have probably have like 6 card machines. that they're now like, oh, actually, if we got Musket, we would get a cheaper bank rate. Well, that would save us loads of money because they're taking payments every day. And they're not really interested in the Bitcoin bit, but they're like, well, if it brings extra people in, like, why not? So actually, we're looking at, as a bakery, now integrating Musket. And it's like, great. Like, this is, you know, it's like the Trojan horse, you know? And
it's great,
and for me, it's that thing of like, that only happened because I did it. Like, I had to, like, you have to, like, put your hand up and be like, I'm actually willing to, like, take a punt on this and practice what I preach, rather than just, you know, being a kind of... you know, if you want to see the change, you've got to be the change. You know, I kind of, I'm a believer in that. I think no one's going to do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. And that's also what I love about the Bitcoin community, is it is so, it's so proactive. And like, I've been working on some exciting stuff that I'd quite happily share with you. It's a little bit pie in the sky, but actually just by kind of putting yourself out there and being enthusiastic and trying to like, connect with people on how you can solve their problems with something that's going to be better, actually you get a good response. And I think particularly like business owners and entrepreneurs, they tend to like they feel the problems a lot more, because like, you know, there is friction with the banking system. It is a bit of crap that like you know you receive your money 3 days after you've paid, you know, like whereas like if you're just a, you know, you just have a normal job, you never, you know, when you see your banking app, you get paid or you pay, it's instant. So you don't ever see that kind of friction. But as soon as you're a business owner, like, yeah, they pay me on Friday. If it's a bank holiday, I don't get that money till Wednesday. Well, that's like, that's quite a lot. If you want to pay all your supplies and stuff on the Saturday, because you want to get your admin done, you know, on your day off, well, now suddenly you've got cash flow issues. So like, whereas kind of Bitcoin fixes that, because they pay you and you get paid instantly. Like there's no friction. You're like, it's just better. Like, yeah, so my experience is that, you know, people who are using it or using the current system from a kind of business point of view see those issues more acutely, because it impacts them.
It is just so inspiring when you do see that future. It's just impossible not to want to be a part of it. Being a part of it being proactive and helping. That's how you do become a part of it. I'm interested in knowing if any customers that didn't come for Bitcoin seen people pay with Bitcoin and like,
yeah, well, I got a funny story. So that does happen. So I won't mention any names, but I had a friend of mine came and he's been like super helpful. He's like, he helped me set up a node. He's been like a real support, because you know there's a lot of technical stuff. I'm not very technical, like I don't know how to code and stuff. I use ChatGPT to find out loads of answers, you know. I'm like but I'm like figuring it out, and I'm also quite conscious I don't want to lose, I don't like, you know, make a catastrophic error and lose my stack. And so he's been like super helpful. Anyways, he came along to the sub club and paid in Bitcoin, and he was sat next to it, because everyone eats together, so you kind of like, it's quite communal, and you know, it's like a really nice shared experience. And he was chatting to people, and they like, he told them about Bitcoin, they were interested, and they were definitely like they weren't Bitcoiners, but you could kind of see like they're the kind of potentially, you know, like they might go buy some, you know, because they kind of understood the issues. And then it came to the payment side, and he was doing it through like a Lightning wallet that was like self-custodial. And it just like, the payment just wouldn't go through. It just like kept on failing. And you could see, he was like, oh no, we'll do it again. And he was like, and I was kind of standing there with the machine, and I was like, well, it normally works, but clearly it's not working now. And then like 5 minutes later, and it was like, oh, I haven't got enough money on it. And so he was like, you know, and it was all getting it was getting complicated, but then they were like, oh, you've kind of got to go now. so they kind of left, and he was like, oh, well. Screwed that one up, didn't I? And I guess it's like that, you know, we are still quite early, and I think that's how Bitcoin humbles you, because you can promise this wonderful future, and like, you know, like I know it's coming, but it might be like, well, it's still quite early, so it's probably going to fail a few times, and you have to just, you know, stick at it. But when you're in the ecosystem, you kind of just accept that, like, yeah, sometimes, you know, payments don't go through, or sometimes, you know, you're like, if I have a power cut at home, it turns off my node, the node doesn't restart, so like I have to go manually restart it. Well, that's just kind of annoying, but I know that. But then I know that then my node's not syncing, so therefore my wallet's not going to work, like, so and those things will be fixed, because they'll have to be fixed, you know. And it's just like, but the moment you just accept it. But of course, if you've had the great sales pitch and you've promised it and you've given it a big game and then it doesn't work, people are like, oh, stop, it's not working. You know, I guess it feels, but it's fine. I think, I don't think they were put off by it. I think they were just like, oh, clearly pound still function easier. but that's fine. You know, that future will change, I think, fairly quickly. And people like Musket are making it way easier. Like, you know, and that's only going to, that's only going to happen more. And,
Yeah, fair enough. And you mentioned how much harder it is with the banking system on its own, and that's just because of fees and stuff. But that's before you even get into the effects of inflation on small businesses in particular, hospitality even more in particular, because you're pretty much your customer base is middle class, and inflation does just take that out, and it just makes anyone wealthy or lower class.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, low margin businesses are notoriously hard. Like, I run a bakery. You know, you don't run a bakery to make money. Like, it's, you know, you become a lawyer or a banker. I don't know. If you want to make money, you know, there's easier jobs to make cash. Running a bakery is, you know, you do it because you're passionate and you like the product, and it's, you know, it's a really fun and there's great customers and it's really enjoyable, but it's low margin. So the difference between, you know, making money and making a loss are super fine. And then you've got this kind of external force that's totally out of your control, which is inflation. when you realize that inflation isn't running at 2%, 3%, it's, I think the UK average is like 7 or 8% like a year. Yeah. And you know, when you understand that, you're like, oh, so we've got to grow faster than 8% year on year from a kind of profitable point of view, and just to like stand still, like, well, that's really hard. Like, you know, that, like, you know, doing that year in, year out is relentless. You know, like, I work in sales, and, you know, we have good years and then you'll have a bad year. You know, like, it doesn't always, you know, so some years you will outpace inflation, and then you'll have a few years where the economy's a bit stagnant, people aren't spending so much, you know, costs go up, whatever, and suddenly your profit margin is lower. And so you're running at, like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6% for a number of years. But If the money printer is running at 8% and you're not keeping up, well, you're just getting left behind.
I mean, it's extrapolate 2% out. Less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You run that over a long period of time. You're like, we're going bust. like mm-hmm. we are. And or you end up doing what Joe said. Like, you cut quality. You know, you buy inferior ingredients. You give shrinkflation. You offer. You put your prices up. You know, you offer an inferior, less value for money for your customers. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do to keep up with it. And, you know, I've been working in our business for in sales for almost a decade now, and, you know, like, pricing going up is just, this is what everyone does. Like, it's just what you do because there's no other choice. You know, we're a business that stands by quality, so we're always trying to buy better quality stuff. But, you know, like, our brioche roll used to have 20% butter in. Now it's got less because it's like the price of butter is just too expensive that our customers won't pay for it. So they're like, I need a better price. I'm like, well, I can take some butter out. So they're like, yeah, do that. Like, bring the price down because I want to use your product. It's still really good. But then you look back and you're like, well, 10 years ago, it used to have 20% butter and now it's maybe got 10%. You're not offering, like, it's a different product, you know, and it's like, and it's not insidious. It's not like we're not trying to scam people. It's just like, we're just trying to run our business, and like, you live in the real world and you have to, like, it's a game you have to play. And so the price of our brioche has gone up over time, but we're using less butter, and you're like, well, that's not great, is it? And we're not doing it because we're trying to, like, make more money. We're doing it because we're just trying to, like, keep our head above the water.
The same amount.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, and once you understand it, you're like, well, where's this going to lead? It's going to lead to 2% butter, cheaper flour, the price is going up, smaller rolls. Like, it's all going to happen because for us to keep, you know, keeping up with that 8% year on year, that's what we have to do. And you're like, well, where does that lead? Well, it leads to, you know, a business that you no longer believe in, or you're dissatisfied with, or your customers don't like it as much. And you see that all the time, you know, like, you know, a great cafe chain suddenly you know, their quality isn't what it used to be. You know, they, you know, their prices have gone up 4 or 5 quid for the portion, but you're getting less. The sausages aren't quite as nice. The bacon's a bit cheaper. They're buying in pre-made stuff, you know, like all these little things, and they're having to do it to like keep their business afloat, because they've got all of these external forces that are just like making it hard. But the whole time the quality is going down, and like, you know, when you see that and you understand it, it's quite depressing. It's quite depressing. You're like, what are we doing? Like, we need to change. And that, and then that, and then you're like, oh, well, Bitcoin, you know, it solves that. And it's just gonna not solve it today. Mm-hmm. It's gonna, you know, it will in the future, but we just have to get there. But
very important to say that's not normal at all. I mean, that's about. It might seem normal because about from what my dad's age down, that's been pure fiat standard. So that's been the norm. But that's just 50 years of an entire history. I mean, it's not normal for a business to have to try and do that. And a big business has so many advantages over a small business in an inflationary thing. They can afford a financial advisor realistically.
Whereas
a small business can't.
Well, like my little small supper club, you know, we do probably 12 pop-ups a year. So, but you know, so we're doing like one a month. So two evenings, say our turnover's like 25, 30 grand tops. You know, it's a small little side hustle, not making that profit. Obviously got lots of costs and stuff, but you know, it's doing okay. So we have a business account with Monzo, and you know, it's good. It works quite well. Like it's a fairly good interface. But any money that I keep, and I've obviously got to keep stuff aside for tax each year, so I've got like accumulate a pot. The rates I get are it's under 1%, and it has been for the last 2 years. Yeah, my personal account is more like 3.5%. So like, you're like, straight away you're like, oh, I get screwed over because I'm a little business. The cash I'm holding in your bank that I need to save for my tax bill, like I need to keep that money aside. Like I put a bit in Bitcoin, but like, you know, it's a fairly short term thing. Like I'm gonna be paying that back fairly soon. Whilst it's part there, I'm making less than 1%. That's because I'm literally like the smallest, most insignificant little piece of shit in the business world, because I'm like a one-man band, you know, doing a bit of a side hustle, but I don't have access to those good rates, you know. And it's like so straight away you're like, well, if I wanted to grow this, my cash that I'm making is disadvantaged. Like it's not so now I'm having to put it into more, you know, do I put it into risky things? Do I stick it into Bitcoin and hope that the price goes up in 12 months, or it might fall by 50%, in which case I'm then going to have to sell something else to pay my tax. But you know, like you have all these, you know, and it's like it is all skewed to like the bigger you are, the better treatment you get. And
the opposite world is the cash you hold is constantly increasing, no matter how big your business is. It's just equal playing field.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of it's but you know, it's I think once you understand that, you can see that there are other ways, and you can be smarter about it. So you have to. You know, and there's a lot of great information out there, and you know, I think we're in that kind of hybrid bit where we're transitioning across, and you know, it's great to be Bitcoin only, but actually there is, you know, so people like Musket are offering solutions that, you know, are, you know, they understand that there is a real world that exists now and there is this future, but we also need to like help people be able to do both. And you know, so I think that's great. You know, I'm all for
makes
that.
It a bridge rather than a huge bridge jump.
exactly
yeah. And you mentioned you had another little project going on.
Well, yeah, so this is a bit of a
is it what you mentioned on Jordan's, or is this different?
This is quite new, actually. This is quite new. Yeah, and okay. I'm quite excited. I've got a few I've actually managed to line up a few meetings Cheat Code, so I'm quite into that. I've fully come out of the parapet, and I'm like like a raging bull, and I'm not quite sure where it's going to go, but it's certainly fun. So do you know much about kind of wind curtailment in the UK?
I see all the BP Bitcoin policy UK. I read all about it. Never.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of just irks me that like my bills keep going up and my friends' bills go up and people I know are complaining about it, and actually quite a lot of it or a decent chunk of it is energy being where we have too much, and then they're basically paid to turn off, and that's charged directly to the bill payer. And And that just seems like stupid and unfair, and puts wrong incentives and all this kind of stuff. And obviously you will know that Bitcoin mining is a credible solution that is being used in many countries, America, Bhutan, I think Finland do quite a bit, Germany. You know, there's lots of countries doing it. The UK, there is literally nothing. Like it's like a desert of activity. So I happen to live very close to someone who owns an energy company, a renewable energy company, and they are very vocal about the build out of renewables. And they're a little bit Marmite. Like they, some people like them, some people don't. But they are whether you like them or not, they're a disruptor. And they, when they get behind something, they talk about it a lot. So I've just had this like be in my bonnet for like, if I could get them to like understand how Bitcoin mining could actually help accelerate their business and have all of these like additional benefits, then that would be a good thing, you know. And I live close to them, and I actually, my bakery provides bread to one of their other businesses, so I have like a little bit of an in. So I've been like sending, so I wrote like a kind of proposal 2 years ago, sent it off, no response, LinkedIn, you know, just occasionally just like I'll hear something, be like, oh, I'll just send another one. And then they have a podcast, and they answered one of my questions on their podcast.
Oh, nice.
Not very satisfactory. I wasn't happy with the answer, but I was like, oh, cool. Like, they've like engaged with it. And the thing that was interesting was the mention around Bitcoin mining. They just went, oh, like, well, Bitcoin mining, well, that's ridiculous. Like, who understands Bitcoin mining? I don't understand it. Don't think anyone does. And then they just talked about their solution. And I was like, ah. Like, they're not against Bitcoin. They just don't understand it. Like, they have a knowledge gap, and it's not that they've looked at it and been like, oh, this is they're anti it. They just don't understand it. So I was like, right, well, now's my opportunity. So I emailed again, thank you for, you know, featuring me on the podcast, and I got a response, and then I got a meeting, and so I had a meeting with the I think it was like the chief strategy officer or something at this company, and he was really friendly, really nice. Was just like, I just literally don't know anything about Bitcoin. Just give me the 101, and then tell me how it could help. And it was a half hour chat that then went on for like an hour and 20 minutes, and by the end of it, he was like, I think there's something in this. Could you like pull something together and like maybe we can have a follow-up meeting? I was like, yeah, definitely. And so I'm now kind of in this like, everything I've heard about Bitcoin mining is that it's incredibly competitive, loads of people go bust, like it's really difficult, hash rate's exploding, like it's the most cutthroat business in the world, you know, it's the most free market, whatever. And I've kind of always just like observed it, but then I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm not involved in that. I'll just stack sats and cook some dinner. And now suddenly I'm like, I kind of find myself having to learn quite a lot. But anyway, like I don't quite know how I fit into it, whether I'm just an enthusiastic bystander who just like helps connect, or actually whether there's like a business opportunity. I don't know. I'm kind of up, you know, I'll just see what happens. But there's been so many, you know, so much help from like the Bitcoin Policy UK. They've been really great.
Yeah, I was gonna
meet up with a few people.
Susie would definitely be very helpful in
Well, I'm meeting up with her and a guy called Nick, who has written quite a lot of the articles about mining. So I'm going to meet up with them at Cheat Code. I've kind of put together like a basic kind of like business plan and a kind of commercial case. There's quite a lot of assumptions I've had to like guess, because I'm like, I just don't know the answer, but I'll put in like what I think it is. And I don't know. Like, I mean, my expectations is like nothing will come of it, but also it might be the thing that maybe something will come off. They'll be like, hey, let's give it a go. We'll trial it in a really small little pilot thing. And you know, they can shout, hey, we're not charging bill payers money. We've worked out a private model that, you know, so we're not charging it to you, so we can bring your bills down. Long term, they can use that capital to do other businesses. You know, it's like, you know, all the things that Bitcoin does. And you know, maybe that'll be the catalyst. I don't know. Like,
I think it's hard to see how it fails. It is energy that is just
free.
Nothing.
It's literally
free energy. Yeah. There is no reason.
The only thing that is tricky is that they actually get paid quite a lot by the bill payer. So so we pay, I think it's like on average about 7p a kilowatt bill payers pay for this curtailed energy, and then to be like competitive in Bitcoin mining you need like sub 4p.
That's just silly though.
And you're just like, but also, like, if you're a business owner, if you've got a revenue stream that's purely based on a policy, well, if that policy changes and suddenly that money's like, we can't afford to pay that anymore, that's being cut off, you've got to like find your own feet. Like, in the way that, you know, like a few years ago there was a subsidy for buying an EV car, it's now changed, you know, it's less, you know, like these policies change all the time. Like, so it's not like, as a business owner, you can't be reliant on a handout all the time. Like, things come and go. And so part of my proposal is a little bit like, yeah, you've got this money now, but actually you might not have that in 2 years time or in 3 years time.
At least have a backup. At least try,
have a backup. Try some alternatives. And also, yeah, you're not going to get as much, but then if you mine the Bitcoin yourself and you keep it, well, you know, if you keep it for 10 years, that could be worth a lot more, you know, like, and you could do a whole load more stuff. So it's kind of like, there's like different angles, but I just think it's really interesting. Like, I don't know.
It is.
Like,
it's quite frustrating hearing that they get paid more to do nothing with energy than to do something with energy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's crazy. Welcome to the UK.
What was your approach with this guy, though? I mean, that's if you.
Yeah, I can. Well, I definitely used quite a lot of AI Have you used AI at all? Like,
I love it for this podcast.
Yeah.
My clips. Oh my god.
Yeah. So I have a day job. It's just quite busy, you know. I do these supper clubs. I have a family that is quite busy, you know. But like, I don't have loads of free time, so I definitely wouldn't have been. I wouldn't even have thought of doing this without AI. Whereas actually, you know, what I've been able to do is like build proposals, build models, you know, kind of get and just kind of, yeah, you have to ask the right questions and then, you know, like tweak bits and change stuff and like, oh, that's quite a bit wrong. But it's just like, you know, what I can do in half an hour of a lunch break, and suddenly you're like, oh, I've now constructed like an agenda that I'm going to talk about that I can send over, and it's like it looks professional. And as long as you delete all of the stuff in bold and the little emojis it likes putting on, you know, and make sure it's written in English rather than American English. So I just basically used AI to do most of it, and just kind of went in there with like, hey, this is an idea. Are you open to talking about it? Like, I think this could save you money, save your customers money, and give you more resilience for the future. And also, I kind of played into that, like, you're a disruptor. This is disruptive.
Nice.
Like,
nice,
lean into it, like, you know. And and again, I don't know if much is going to happen, but then, like, I've got, in talking to friends who I've talked to about Bitcoin, turns out quite a lot of them, I think around where I live, there's quite a lot of green energy. Like, it's quite a big area for kind of like the green energy industry. So actually, it turns out quite a lot of people I know, I never really asked them what their job is, and they kind of work in some kind of area that's kind of connected to energy. And so actually, I've kind of like, you know, just by chatting to them, suddenly they're like, oh, right, okay, let's talk. So like, nothing might happen with this company, but it's like, I guess it, something might happen with another company.
Yeah.
A few ins, exactly. Cool. And I'm not really sure what the bit I'm trying to work out is, like, what's my role apart from like an enthusiastic crazy person.
That's really hard bit to understand. I had the same thing. I want to do something, start the podcast, and after that, like, I love doing this podcast, and I don't think there's absolutely no desire to stop, but there's also still want to do more. Like, I don't think that feeling will really go away until all my time's taken up.
I mean, I think it's there's a you know, it's important to have cash flow. You know, you need money coming in to live life, you know, like, unless you've got so much Bitcoin that you can just live off selling little bits or loaning bits out or whatever, like, you're gonna need a job, you know. And so, you know, I'm really fortunate that I've got a really great job that I really enjoy, and it offers me that kind of steady income. And so I'm, you know, I'm not about to throw the baby out the bathwater. Like, I, you know, I'm accepting that I'm still probably going to have a job in the foreseeable future, but that's fine. But then it's like, well, actually, I can use my time, you know, I can use my evenings, I can use my weekends, I can use, you know, my breaks and stuff to do some more stuff. And I guess for me, the step was doing these supper clubs. They kind of came out of a need. My need was that my mortgage went up loads because they put the rates up, and we remortgaged it at the absolute worst time. Nothing I could do about it. Suddenly, I have less money every month. And I was like, if we want a summer holiday, I'm going to have to either sell some Bitcoin, don't really want to do that, or I need to earn some more cash. And so a lot of things, I think, like with Bitcoin and life, they're born out of a necessity, not a want. Like,
yes.
I like cooking, but if I didn't need money, I probably wouldn't have set up like a mini restaurant. But I now get to cook. I love cooking. So I'm doing something I enjoy and I make a bit of money. Great. And then leaning into Bitcoin with that has brought these new people in, and then they challenge you with ideas and stuff that now I'm like, you know, I'm now having conversations with energy bosses about integrating Bitcoin mining. And right, I literally, you couldn't, like when I was sat at Cheat Code last year, you wouldn't have been like, oh, this is going to happen. Yeah. But yeah, I think if you just open and just like, you know, like I try not to, and maybe because I have a job, it takes the pressure off. Like, it doesn't matter if nothing happens. Like, it's like I can just be enthusiastic on the side, and I'm learning stuff. And you know, maybe it'll help, maybe it won't, but it doesn't really matter. But then I'm at that point of life where, you know, it's a bit, you know, like I'd love to be traveling in Vietnam and Cambodia, but I got kids at school, so I can't do that. So I have to get my kicks elsewhere, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think by the sounds of it, we've gone down very similar routes. I mean, it was the same Cheat Code event that I went to, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, what made you go there? Something. Like, was that
I was down the rabbit hole at that point, and I was super interested. And I emailed people, I mean, I looked at the ticket price, and I was like, fuck that. That is crazy. I could absolutely love to, but I don't have a job. And so I emailed him and I said, is there like a student discount? Because I was still at school at the time, I was 17. And he was like, oh, mate, here's a free ticket. And I was like,
What a legend.
And then, I know, absolutely legend. And then I was told my dad, and he was like, okay, I'm pretty interested, I'll come with you. So that was nice. And then I finally figured out that I wanted to do
this. I think I met you there.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Because I'd never met any Bitcoins. I met a lot of people, but I met a guy who was probably about 17 with his dad. Might have been you. Like,
I
at the conference.
Did like in the conference room? The only people I spoke to outside of the conference was in the pub after, which is also a quite funny experience. But yeah, that was great.
Did you go to his retreat bar? Oh, I can't remember what it's called. His bar.
I went to his bar. Yeah, I went to
his. Yeah. Or maybe I met you in there. I definitely met someone. Anyway, I've got really bad memory for faces and names. But as soon as you said your dad and you're 17, I definitely spoke to someone who was 17 who came with their dad, and I was just like, oh, that's really cool.
It might have been you. Anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, there wasn't. You know, there was mostly older people, wasn't it? But the Pete's really good. He's just going back to Joe. So this is again where I think the community is, you know, if you lean into it, people are just like so good with their time. We do these supper clubs. They're not Bitcoin related. They're just nice food and a good evening, you know, as it should be. And but I've kind of had this kind of like thing of like, maybe I should do like a, should I do my own kind of Bitcoin meetup? Should I like organize something? And mostly I'm just like, I just don't have the time to like at the moment to do it. Like, but I'm doing these supper clubs. So I kind of said to my wife, like, should we just like, I'm quite up for doing like a Bitcoin one. Like, just see what happens, put it out there. And she was like, well, let's see what happens. So I contacted Jordan after I did the interview, and I was like, hey, thinking about maybe doing a kind of Bitcoin one. Like, can you think of anyone who'd be good to like do a talk, or what do you think? And he was like, well, why don't you ask Joe? Like, you've met him. So I just messaged Joe on X, and he was like, yeah, great. So he's coming with his family as a paid guest, and then afterwards we're gonna do Joe's gonna do a Q&A for like half an hour or so, and Jordan's gonna interview him. This is pretty good. I've got now Joe's opening.
It's on the
6th or the 7th? I think it's the 6th of June on a Friday.
Perfect. That's my birthday gift from my dad. Sorted.
Yeah, nice. I've got a couple of tickets left. But anyway, I put it out there, and the tickets sold super fast, like really, really quick. And there's people coming. There's a guy coming from El Salvador.
Whoa.
And I'm like, what? Like, you're going crazy. Okay. Admittedly, he was coming to the UK anyway, and he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to come a couple of weeks earlier so I can come to your event." I was just like, "It's totally blows my mind." I'm like, "You're coming from El Salvador to Nailsworth to have dinner like with me. Like it just like it just it it, it and then so I tell people that, my friends, and they're like, what, like who are these people? I'm like, mate, they're like the coolest people around, like, you know. I want to be in that position where I go to, you know, 100%. Mexico for the weekend just to have dinner because there's someone I quite like to support. Like, and I'm not in that phase of life. Like, I don't have enough Bitcoin. I need to wait a few more years. But that's fine. I can be patient. But it's like you kind of like and I had it at Tika, like you meet people and you're like, and you can kind of like, you're kind of like reading the room. You're like, you know, are you new into it? Are you enthusiastic? And then there's like the kind of like the just chilled out people who just like look very normal. And they're like, yeah, I've been into Bitcoin for 10 years. And you just like, you just you are absolutely sorted. You've probably got more disposable income than anyone else I know. And yet you're just totally normal. But yet you probably can just whip to Mexico for the weekend on a whim. Because
for a good reason.
Yeah, you've put the time in, and that's, you know, like, I don't begrudge that, you know. And and that's where it's that kind of like feels like winning the lottery in slow motion. You're like, oh, that could be me one day, and hopefully it will be. And it's just gonna take some time.
Yeah, it's like my episode with Joe. When I recorded an episode with Joe, I sent my friends a video, and they were like, oh yeah, nice video. And I said, oh yeah, I'm giving him a call, and we're gonna talk about it. And do you have any questions for him? That's what was like my basis for the episode, was to have people that weren't into Bitcoin ask him questions.
Yeah, I listened to it.
And they were like, no, whoa, no way. And I was like, yeah. It's the busiest people, but they seem to be the most generous with their time.
Yeah, so totally. Totally. It's great. Totally. And it's very cool. My kind of encouragement for you would be just to, you know, you like live your life. And obviously if you're off traveling, you obviously, you know, you are living your life, which is, you know, make the most of it. But also I just think it's like super exciting. Like if I was your age in this kind of mind frame, you'd be like, you know, I think it I'd feel super optimistic.
Ahead of myself.
Totally. Yeah, but that's, you know, and I guess it's that, yeah, that's maybe that kind of cash flow thing is like, you know, you still live in the real world, so like you're gonna have to you're probably gonna have to get a job, you're probably gonna have to, you know, I don't know if you've got a girlfriend or a, you know, partner or whatever, but like, you know, they can be quite expensive, but it's definitely worth it, you know, like you know, like saving money is super important, but also living your life is super important. And and it's, you know, it's like find that balance. And I don't know, I kind of, I guess that they're kind of bits that I my dad actually bought Bitcoin before me, which he bought it on PayPal.
Because I forced him to.
Fine. Anyway, so he bought some. I don't know how much he bought, maybe 50 quid. And he just told me, he was like, I bought some Bitcoin. And I was like, really? Like, and it was at that point that I was kind of like dissatisfied with, you know, my finances. And so then when I bought Bitcoin, I was like, well, my dad's bought some, so like, good idea. I don't think he's ever bought any more. He might have bought a little bit more, but not really. And so I've kind of then like talked to him, and he's like a super wise person. My dad is, you know, really, really great, and been a great father. But he's got this thing around Bitcoin that he like wrote a after I'd got a bit of an overzealot on the family WhatsApp. He then kind of wrote a response of like, stop being preachy, you know, kind of like tone it down a little bit. You know, you're being a bit tone deaf and you're boring people. Okay, fair enough. A note taken, Dad. And then he kind of wrote his kind of like thoughts on Bitcoin, and they were slightly, I was a little bit like, felt they were a bit misguided, but actually on reflection that they're also a bit wise as well. So his thing was that he felt like, you know, hoarding money for the sake of hoarding money isn't a great thing, like, you know, just like saving everything and like, you know, being that kind of like, oh, counting all my pounds and like, you know, you know, it might feel like a good thing when you're doing it, but actually, you know, money is just a tool to like do other stuff. And and he's always been a super generous, like, you know, always try and like help out or kind of like lend money, people money, or like, you know, be generous, you know, like, you know, you, when you die, you can't take it with you. So like, you know, trying to try and enjoy it and enjoy it with those around you, et cetera. And, but also be sensible, you know, don't spend more than you earn, et cetera. And, so he had this thing around Bitcoin of like, apparently there's olive trees that are like over, 400 years old, and you prune them every year, and every year they'll give you, if they're looked after, they'll give you a crop of olives, so you get to eat the olives, and it will do that for, you know, half a millennia and longer.
Wow.
And so he was like, so maybe you should view Bitcoin as like, if this thing is just going to continue, you know, over time going up in value, that actually you should prune it like an olive tree and use it to enjoy the fruit rather than just hoarding it for the sake of hoarding it. And so at the time I was like, yeah, appreciate that, but I'm still personally in the kind of accumulation phase, because I don't have enough, and I want to get more, because I, you know, I can kind of see where it might go. And actually, really, if you want to build your stack, you've got to go hard early, because like, well, that's the kind of the urgency of like, you've got to go now, because it might you know, you're going to buy a lot less in 5 years' time, so go hard now, so then you don't spend it. And but I think, yeah, I've kind of like, I've reflected on that a lot, and I think it probably, what you don't want to do is just hoard Bitcoin but never enjoy life. And it's got to be a balance. And like, because you want to like,
philosophical.
It's like, don't spend too much. And now he's obviously, you know, he's over 70. He, you know, he's coming not to the end of his life, but like he's at the latter stage of his life, and so he should be spending money. He should be out enjoying himself. So for him, it's like it's not about hoarding. It's about, you know, pruning that olive tree maybe a bit more than so in my mind I've adjusted, like, you know, before I was like, this is generational wealth and I'm going to save it for my great 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 grandchildren, and you're a bit like, my kids might spank it all like when I'm dead, like, so you know, like that most wealth is like lost by the next generation. That is like that's what mostly happens. And then you meet, you know, you meet people who have held generational wealth for generations, and they're all a bit weird, and you're like, oh, I'd like, you know, do I want my kids to end up as these kind of like, you know, living in a big castle, but they're all like totally disjointed from reality of everyone? Like, I don't know, do I want that? I don't know. I like so I think for me it's like, I am accumulating, I'm not particularly spending much of my Bitcoin, but like I will live my life, and like, you know, and hopefully that'll increase, because I'll have to spend less of my stack as the price goes up. But like, you know, I think it's important to like live in the real world. And also, you know, I want to, you know, if I do well with Bitcoin, I want to be generous with my friends and family, you know, like, I don't want to solve their problems for them, but I want to be, you know, I don't want to be like that. Was it the Disney film Robin Hood with like King John, and he's like counting his money in his bed. That's not the future I want to be. Like, I'd quite like to have that disposable income, but then I'd like to be generous with it, you know, it's like and live my life. But
it's a funny topic. I mean, I got absolutely no plans on having kids anytime soon, but I always hear people talk about that subject of, do you really want to leave your kids with millions, or, you know, like maybe a whole Bitcoin, and then they just don't, and they just don't live a life similar to anyone else. A really weird concept. Maybe
it's a tricky one. Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite know the like, I've got these I got them for Christmas, this thing called Lightning Piggy. So they're basically like piggy banks, but they have a little digital screen, and then you know, there's a little QR code, and you can, they basically get like a live update, and if they do some stuff, I can like send them some zaps and whatnot. And it's been way too technical for my like, I've had to like, in doing it, I've had to like set up a Lightning node. I've had to like do this stuff. My wife's like, what are you doing? Like, is this for like 20 quid for the kids? Like, it seems like way too much effort. But actually yesterday I finally got it set up that now, so I've done it through GoAlbi, or that Albi Hub, unbelievable. Like, it's simple. And they now have like their own wallets that are like sub wallets, friends and I think it's like an Uncle Jim thing. I didn't know about this, but I've had to learn. And now the QR codes, they, you know, if I took a photo of it, or you came around and took a photo of it, you can then send money and it goes directly to their wallet, which is self-custodial. So it's not on like, you know, So it's like, then I'm holding the private keys and stuff. So I was like, cool. Okay. Nice. We're set. And I finally managed to figure it all out It's taken me from Christmas till yesterday to actually get it to work. Yeah. And that's because it's like, it's priorities, isn't it? Like, you know, I spent a day doing it. It's just like, I just can't get my head around this. This is just not working. Yeah. And so you just like leave it for a bit. And but now it's finally working, which is good. And then I like posted a photo and was like, hey, I finally got this set up. And loads of people just like sent the kids some Satoshis, which is great. Like some of them was like, I think someone sent like 4,000 Satoshis. I was like, well, that's, you know, and obviously it's only like a couple of quid. And but then you're kind of thinking, you're like, you know, you like in your mind, you're like, oh, 20, you know, when my kids are actually, you know, a bit older, you're like, well, that could be quite a lot of money.
Meaningful,
that
yeah,
might buy him a car, like, you know, yeah. Or whatever a car is. Anyway, but yeah, it's funny where it makes your mind go, and I think it's good to like, it's good to think about these things, but also, again, it's like you can't live too much in the future. Yeah, yeah, you just have to like, you have to live in the now, and because these things, like, yeah, it's you just end up going a bit nuts otherwise, but it is exciting, you know, like.
Course, undeniably exciting. It's,
yeah,
can't
yeah.
Ignore it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, thank you very much. I don't want to keep you for
no pleasure. No, thank you.
Rob your time. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. I've had a really nice time.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Really
thank
valuable you. Episode. Yeah. Yeah. Cheers.
Brilliant. Anyway, take care. Cheers.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.